into the car as he advanced.
What? He growled. Is your problem?
A lump stretched my throat, and I chewed on my lip, not really wanting the rest of the guys to know. Fat chance. They followed us over, around the car, and stood next to Michael, staring at me and waiting. Great. I let out a sigh, squaring my shoulders and just blurting it out. Miles Anderson slipped me a spiked drink at a party last spring. I stared at the ground as they all just stood there, not saying anything. Last March, I'd gone to a St. Patrick's Day party at a senior's house, and, of course, I hadn't gone alone. Noah and Claudia came with me. We hung out, we danced, I had one drink, and the next thing I knew I was being slapped awake by Noah in a bathroom as he stuck his finger down my throat. Maybe the guys didn't think that was a big deal. Who cared about some idiot girl that got roofied? Michael shifted, inching closer.
What the fuck did you just say?
I shot my eyes up, my blood heating at the sight of his cinnamon eyes, looking like he wanted to tear me limb from limb. But I stayed strong. Astrid Colby, his girlfriend, actually did it, I explained. She gave me the drink, but he was in on it. Yeah, any confidence Michael had in me was probably gone now. I was weak, stupid, and a waste of time.
What happened?
He demanded. I swallowed through the lump in my throat, my voice shaky. I went down quick, I told him. I barely remember anything. All I know is what Noah told me. He'd broken down the door to a bedroom in the house where the party was. They had me on the bed, and my... I paused, my stomach rolling with the thought as my eyes burned. And my shirt was open. Michael hesitated a moment and then pressed.
And
they didn't get that far, I assured, knowing what he wanted to know. No, I hadn't been raped. Noah had noticed me being led upstairs with them, I explained, barely able to walk, and thankfully he got there before anything else happened.
Why didn't you tell anyone?
He threw back, accusing me. My chest shook, and I blinked away the tears pooling. But it was no use. They came anyway, and I couldn't look at any of them as they started to fall.
What the fuck is the matter with you?
He yelled in my face, and I winced.
Why didn't you tell anyone?
I did, I cried, glaring at him through blurry eyes. I told everyone. My mother called the school and... I trailed off, clenched my fists under my arms.
So help me God,
he warned when I didn't finish. I filled my lungs and forced the rest out. And your father is partnered in 3 real estate ventures with the Andersons, so...
God damn it!
Michael tore himself away, turning from me as he swore. Kai shook his head, heat turning his dark eyes fierce.
Unbelievable,
he gritted out. I didn't need to explain further. Yeah, I'd tried to fight back, tell my mother, the Christs, the school... even Trevor. But in the end, even despite the protests of my mom and Michael's, the business relationship between Michael's father and Miles's parents was more precious than my honor. Miles was told to stay away from me, and I wasn't permitted to go to the hospital to take a drug test for evidence. The incident never went to the police or even left our respective homes. I had to look at him every day in school, knowing what he almost did to me and wondering if he and his girlfriend had raped me, would I have seen any justice then? I bowed my head, trying to hold back my silent sobs. God, I wanted to kill him.
Stop crying,
Damon ordered, glaring down at me. He then looked up at Michael, his eyes narrowing.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? What could we do? Even if the horsemen had power in this town, they didn't hold any over their parents. Evans Christ had convinced my mother not to publicize the issue, and what was done was done. Astrid and Miles weren't going to be investigated, and if they were, there was no evidence now anyway. Unless that's not the kind of payback Damon was talking about. Michael breathed hard, shifting back and forth, and then his eyes fell on me. And I saw his chin lift and his eyes turn resolute.
Ask her.
I stilled. What? He cocked his head, daring me as the rest of them slowly turned to me and waited. What the hell? What was I supposed to do? And then I realized what Damon had just asked. What are we going to do? It was my decision. They'd all had each other's backs tonight, and now they had mine. But they weren't going to do my shit for me. No, Michael never would. He'd never handled me lightly, and he was going to make me deal with this. And if I didn't, I may as well have them take me home now. I bit down, glaring through the windows of Styx again. Miles leaned into his girlfriend, wrapping her thighs around his waist as she sat on a stool, and kissed her while pawing her breast. She giggled and he backed away with a smug smile on his face, having no care in the world, as he walked up to the bar and got a pat on the back from a teammate on the way. I glanced at Astrid again, seeing her laughing with her friends and fluff her long red hair. They thought they'd won. They didn't fear me. And I locked my teeth together so hard it hurt. I didn't know what I was doing, but fuck it. Rubbing my knuckles along the corners of my eyes, I wiped away any remaining tears, making sure my mascara hadn't run. Grabbing the back of my sweatshirt, I pulled it over my head, slipping my arms out and tossed it to Kai. I mussed the hem of my tight gray tank top, bringing it up to show an inch of stomach, and fluffed my hair, trying to give it some temporary volume or sexy chaos or whatever. After you see me take him into the bathroom, I told them, checking the rest of my clothes, give me a minute and then follow. And then I looked up, checking for confirmation that they'd heard, and froze. What? I asked in a low voice. Four sets of eyes stared, their intense gazes falling down my body as if they'd never seen a girl before. Kai tried to look away, but he kept stealing glances with narrowed eyes, as if he were almost angry, and Damon looked at me like I was naked. Will's eyebrows rose, and then he shot Michael a look, forming an O with his mouth and blowing out a long breath. But turning my eyes on Michael, I saw his jaw flex and his fists clench. Who knew what he was thinking, but he looked mad, as usual. I rolled my eyes at them. I guess it felt kind of good. In fact, I hadn't thought about my scar one time since I'd come out with them tonight. I never felt sexy, but what I liked even more was that it didn't take much to get their attention. No miniskirt, barely any makeup, and no games. I just took off my sweatshirt, and suddenly I wasn't a little girl anymore. Of course, that fact wasn't difficult to forget when the tank didn't leave much to the imagination with the low-cut neckline. And given the temperature outside, I didn't even want to know what they could make out through the fabric. Forcing a huge-ass smile to psych myself up, I grabbed Will's flask out of his hands and spun around for the door.
Hey!
I heard him bark behind me. But I was inside before he could protest further, the door closing and leaving them outside. The warmth of the pool hall, smelling of wood and hamburgers, greeted me as soon as I walked in. And despite the warmer air, the change in temperature made my sensitive skin tingle. I felt my nipples grow harder, and my hands shook. Maybe it was just nerves. Scanning the area and trying to appear like I had no idea the person I was looking for was right at the bar, I tried to act casual. Several people looked up from their pool tables and small groups to see who had just entered. Some smiled and others jerked their chins in hello before turning back to their conversations. Corrupt by Depeche Mode played over the speakers, and I flipped my hair to the side, tipping up the flask and taking a small swig, trying not to wince at the burn coating my throat. I caught Miles's head turned toward me from the corner of my eye. Holding the flask in one hand and sticking my other hand into the back pocket of my jeans, I walked down the aisle between the bar and the pool tables, forcing myself to smile and my hips to sway. I tried to look flirty, even though my heart was stretching my throat and sweat cooled the back of my neck. Turning my head, I pretended to be interested in something happening at one of the tables and not watching where I was going. And then I crashed into his arm, spinning my head back around and feeling the vodka from Will's flask splash my arm and seeing the blotches on Miles's shirt. "Oh my God," I gasped, making a big show of wiping him off. "I'm so sorry, I..."
"It's okay," he cut in,
running a hand down his shirt and then over his blonde hair, fixing himself.
"What are you drinking there, pretty girl?"
He took the opportunity and grabbed my waist with one hand, stealing my flask with the other, and taking a drink. His eyebrows shot up, probably surprised to actually find alcohol and not Kool-Aid in there. The perk about being the quiet girl was not many people really got to know you, which left you the advantage of surprise if you ever decided to switch gears in situations just like this. I pinched my eyebrows together, trying to look worried and vulnerable. "Please don't tell anybody," I pleaded. "Trevor and I got in an argument, and I just needed to relax." Not that he'd tell anyone I was drinking. Everyone drank, but I wanted him to see me as easy prey. Miles and Astrid were aware I knew about the episode on St. Patrick's Day, even though I couldn't remember it, but I was hoping he would buy the fact that I was too drunk to care right now. His lips quirked, and he handed me back the flask.
"What did you fight about?"
I dropped my head back, like the alcohol was getting to me as I moaned. "He thinks I belong to him, and I disagree," I played, bringing my eyes back to him and giving him a fuck-me look. I saw the heat grow in his eyes and felt his hands hold my hips possessively.
"Holding out for someone else," he whispered, getting closer to my mouth.
I licked my lips and hung a lazy arm over his shoulder, my hand dangling behind him. "Maybe," I taunted, forcing myself to sway in his arms.
"Can't really blame him, Rika,"
he spoke low, yanking my body into his.
"I mean, look at you."
I smiled, forcing down the bile coming up from my stomach. Stumbling backward, I groaned, acting like I was dizzy. "The room is spinning," I whimpered. "I think I need to splash some water on my face. Where's the bathroom?" He took my hand, leaning in and whispering,
"Come on."
I didn't bother looking back to see if his girlfriend or friends had seen. I knew they had, and hopefully Astrid would only be a moment behind. Letting him lead me, we walked through the bar and around the corner to where the bathrooms sat. He pulled me into the men's room, and I immediately went for the sinks, turning on the water. Thankfully, the room was empty. Leaning my hand on the side of the basin, I got my other one wet and patted my chest and neck, making a show of arching my back and flipping my long hair over the side. "Come on, guys, get in here." "Oh, that's better," I moaned, continuing to slide my wet hand around the back of my neck and letting it glide down my chest. And Miles didn't waste any time. Coming up behind me, his hands gripped my hips as he pressed himself into my ass.
"God, I bet you're a hot fuck,"
he breathed out, bringing up one hand to squeeze my shoulder at the neck, while the other reached around to take my breast. My breath shook, and my mouth went dry. "Michael." I kept going anyway, forcing a small laugh and pushing his hand away. "What are you doing?" He grabbed for my tits again, growling low in my ear.
"You know what you want."
And he reached down, fiddling with the button of my pants. My pulse pounded in my ears, and I glanced at the door.
"You're not a victim, and I'm not your savior."
My eyes burned, and every inch of my skin crawled with fear. Where were they? What the fuck? I gritted my teeth and inhaled a deep breath. Breathing out slow and steady, I calmed down. "You think that's what I want?" I said, trying to sound less nervous than I was. My phone was in the car, and my keys were in my sweatshirt. I was naked in here, no weapons, and my only hope was to make it out of the bathroom. I spun around, leaning my hands at my sides on the sink. And then my hand froze, falling on something small and sharp. I held it as Miles dived in, kissing my neck and pawing my ass.
"I know exactly what you're begging for," he replied.
I gripped the metal in my hand, realizing it was the pump for the soap dispenser on the granite top. It had a long metal spout that was thin and sharp. I tensed my arm, slowly and quietly wiggling it out of its hole until it finally popped off, and I hurriedly hid it behind my back. "Get off me," I ordered, done playing. But then he grabbed my hair, and I cried out as he yanked my head back,
"Don't tease me."
He slipped his other hand in the top of my tank and squeezed my breast as he smothered my neck with his mouth.
"You can cry, though, if you want to. Just get those fucking pants off."
I cringed, gripping the soap pump and raising my arm to bring it down across his face. But then the door burst open, and we both shot our heads up, relief flooding me. But that was short-lived. Astrid. My chest caved, and my eyes flared, quickly hiding my weapon behind my back again. She walked through the door and shut it behind her, looking like she wanted some trouble. "So you think you can fuck my boyfriend, you little slut?" She held my eyes, looking half amused and half daring. I loosened and retightened my fingers around the makeshift weapon in my hand, liquid heat pouring under the skin of my neck and chest. Jesus, I was scared. "Michael?" She walked over, hooking an arm around Miles's neck, and darted out her tongue, flicking his lips. He dived in for a kiss, tightening his hold on me, and I winced, pushing away from him and darting for the door. But he caught me, throwing me back against the sink. My skin crawled, and I started to breathe hard and fast. No, I wanted out of here. I wanted to go home. I wanted my mom. Astrid leaned back, speaking to Miles. "You want her?" He dragged his bottom lip between his teeth, jerking me into him like I was his dinner.
"Fuck yeah," he growled,
and I let out a small cry, feeling the ridge of his cock rub against me. "Bend her over and give it to her from behind," Astrid ordered him, "and be rough. I don't like her." He whipped me around, and I gasped as the room spun and he forced my head down over the counter. Astrid hopped up on the sink next to me, whispering in my ear, "I like to watch him dick other girls." I couldn't breathe. I tried to inhale, but my chest only shook more and more. Miles reached around to unzip my jeans, and I screamed, my throat going raw, as a surge of anger filled my muscles. I lashed out. Shooting back upright, I pulled both arms back and swung them straight across Astrid's face, slamming her into the mirror to my right. The left side of her head crashed into the glass, quickly shattering it into dozens of splinters and shards. I whipped around, hitting Miles in the side of the face, gouging his skin with the spout of the pump, and ripping a line right down his cheek.
"Fuck!"
he bellowed, shooting a hand to his face and stumbling backward. "You bitch!" Astrid cried out. "You cut my face!" I shot up, holding out my weapon in front of me, and backing up to the wall as sweat broke out across my body. "Good, you sick fucks!" I raged, fury heating my face.
"Come here!"
Miles yelled, and I cried out as he grabbed my arm and damn near ripped it out of the socket as he threw me to the floor. "No!" I shouted. He came down on top of me, and I flailed my arms and legs as he grabbed my hands and restrained me.
"Well, shit, little one," a voice chirped above me, and I whimpered,
seeing Miles stop and look up. I sucked in short, shallow breaths, my heart thundering in my chest as I followed his hard look up at the door that had just opened. Will stared down through his white mask, Michael, Kai, and Damon flanking him.
"Looks like you fucked them up good without our help," he stated,
glancing at Astrid, who had blood pouring down the side of her face by the sink. They slowly entered the room, filling the space around us and shutting the door behind them. I locked eyes with Michael, seeing his narrow as they fell down to my unbuttoned pants.
"What are you guys doing here?"
Miles bit out, getting to his feet.
"Get out! This is private."
No one hesitated. Michael reared up his fist and slammed it down across Miles's face, knocking the wind out of him as his body whipped to the side. Damon and Will immediately dived in, taking both of his arms and hauling his body back to the wall, pinning him there. Kai grabbed me and brought me to my feet, and I darted out, catching Astrid as she tried to run for the door. Fisting her hair, I shoved her into the wall next to her boyfriend and fought to keep the relieved tears at bay.
"Don't you ever touch me again!" I screamed at her, and then stepped over, jutting out and spitting in Miles's face.
"Ever!" He winced, blood trickling down his cheek from the gash I'd made. My whole body shook as I backed away, the rush of fear cracking my face and making my heart ache. I dropped my eyes, seeing Miles's blood on my shirt.
"Go to the car,"
Michael commanded, Miles pinned to the wall in front of him.
"We'll be there soon."
I sniffled, still fisting the soap pump, as I snatched my sweatshirt out of Kai's hand and slipped it back on, covering the blood.
"What are you guys going to do?"
Michael turned from me back to Miles.
"Make sure they understand," he answered.
Chapter 11. Erica. Present. We walked into a large white house on the outskirts of the city, all four guys ahead with me trailing behind. They didn't worry about whether or not I would run off. I'd gotten in the car, after all. When I had made it back to my apartment after the confrontation, I'd seethed for about 2 minutes, a million fears running through my head. They liked toying around and playing games, and tonight, for some reason, I was the mouse hanging by its tail. Why? As the minutes on the clock in my apartment ticked away, I couldn't calm down. They were coming for me, and who knew when they'd stop? I'd never wanted to see them again. Ever. But it was obvious they were after something. They pushed people. That's what they did. And they'd keep pushing me until I started holding my ground and quit backing away.
What else you got?
What else did I have? I was taught to be brave from my father. Dip your toe in every ocean and try everything and anything. Learn, explore, take the world on. And from my mom, I learned self-sufficiency. Of course, she'd taught me by default, but watching her showed me exactly who I didn't want to be. And from Michael, as well as Damon, Will, and Kai, I learned to breathe fire. I learned to walk as if the path were carved for me and me alone, and to treat the world as if it should know I was coming. Did I practice any of it? Of course not. I was a mouse, and that was why I got on my bikini and got in the damn car. I wanted to be different. I wasn't tapping out this time. The drive was quiet, and I spent the whole time focused out the window, happy that they'd turned up the music and killed any possibility of conversation. After valets took the cars, they led the way into the house, and I followed in my black leather flip-flops, suddenly relaxing at the sight of so many people. I wouldn't feel unsafe here. The architecture of the mansion was modern, lots of windows and glass, as well as sharp edges and white everywhere. There were several levels with balconies, each jutting out of the house at varying lengths and widths, and as we strolled in, I could tell immediately that this was a storm party. Michael's basketball team. There were sports paraphernalia sitting around, and several of the guests, including the ones I'd just arrived with, towered over everyone else. A moment of alarm hit me when I saw all the guys in suits without ties. But then I calmed down again, seeing the women, some in club wear and others in swimwear like me.
"Jake!"
Michael shook hands with a guy a few inches taller than him and then turned to me.
"Erica, this is Jake Owen, a teammate. This is his house."
I offered a half-smile, shaking his hand.
"Nice to meet you,"
he said, his eyes gentle. You're very beautiful. And then he looked to Michael.
You sure you want the rest of the team to see her before you get a ring on her finger?
Michael hooded his eyes, shaking his head as he brushed off his friend's joke. I dated his brother, actually, I told him. We grew up together.
Really?
He straightened, looking at me with more interest.
Well, I'd love to hear some basketball stories from his youth. Michael, as I'm sure you know, isn't much for sharing.
I grinned, knowing exactly what he was talking about. But then something caught my eye, and I looked over, seeing Alex. Will was pulling her up the stairs, a grin plastered on his face. Alex was here? And why was she going off with Will? I then saw Kai and Damon take their drinks and head out to the patio. I turned back to Jake, blinking and remembering myself. I stammered. I'm afraid there's not much I could tell you. I didn't watch his games in school. I'm sorry.
Michael's eyes narrowed just a sliver.
Yeah, I'd been to every basketball game he played in high school. No, I couldn't tell you a single play, or what teams they beat. I wasn't paying attention to that. Backing away with a small smile, I excused myself and left them alone. I was sure Michael didn't intend for me to hang on him all night, and I needed some space. And maybe a drink, too. I spent the next half hour or so wandering around the downstairs, acting like I cared about the artwork and the sculptures, before finally hitting the bar for a drink. Thankfully, the guys had left me alone, and I hadn't seen them since we arrived. Taking my rum and coke outside and feeling the alcohol slowly warm my blood, I noticed all of the people in the enormous pool. No one was swimming, but it was plenty spacious for lounging and enjoying the last bit of balmy summer air. On the far end of the pool were rock cliffs and a waterfall display, and I cocked my head, peering over to notice what looked like a secret cave behind the falls. Looking around, I noticed that the guys were still AWOL, so I quickly slid my shirt down my arms and my shorts off. Laying my clothes and sandals on a lawn chair, I grabbed my drink and slid into the pool. The water reached my waist, and I fluffed my hair, bringing it over my left shoulder as I hung around the edge of the pool, sipping my drink. Closing my eyes, I tilted my head back and finally felt the tension leave my face. Finally. "Hey," a voice greeted. I popped my eyes open and looked up to see Alex, a bottle of Patron and a couple of shot glasses in her hands. She wore a red bikini with several long, thin gold necklaces around her neck and big hoop earrings in her ears. "You look a little happier than the last time I saw you," she observed. I nodded, tipping my glass up to her. "This helps." "Psh," she scoffed, setting down her things and hopping into the pool. "That's not a drink." And she poured two quick glasses of the tequila, taking one for herself and handing me the other. I fought not to turn up my nose because hard liquor, not mixed with anything else, was agony for me. However, I wanted to relax, for once, and I didn't fear the guys or any advantage they would take if I got buzzed. Between the four of them, they wouldn't need alcohol to subdue me, so if that's what they were after, I was as good as dead, drunk or sober anyway. I downed the shot, the liquid scorching my throat, and I squeezed my eyes shut, swallowing again and again as I tried to get rid of the taste in my mouth. I didn't think she'd brought lemons, unfortunately. God, I was a girl. Blowing out a breath and getting over the pungent taste, I set the glass down, seeing her refill them. "So, I have to ask," I started, still forcing down the taste in my mouth. "What's with the 'I see lots of men' line?" The corner of her mouth turned up in a smirk, and she turned around handing me the shot glass, now full again. "And I know Will took you upstairs before, and it was Michael the other night?" I went on, giving her a playful look. She shrugged, looking guilty. "I know lots of men. As in, I get paid to know lots of men." Paid? She got paid to know men and spend time with them? And then my eyes widened, realization hitting. "Oh, right," she smiled, blushing as she took her shot. She was an escort. A prostitute. Wow. I followed her lead, taking the shot and trying anything to help me wrap my head around that one. Michael had been with her that night. He'd hired her? You can't tell anyone, though. She pointed at me, her voice thick with the burn of the alcohol. My clients are mostly wealthy and well-known. I set the glass down, stepping out a few inches away from the edge and brushing the surface of the water with my hands. She had sex with men and women, now remembering what she said in the elevator, and she got paid for it. And she lived in my building. I wasn't sure if that was better than when I thought she was Michael's girlfriend. I'd always been a little jealous when Michael had girls around growing up. Even when I was little, I wanted him. But over time, Michael's routine was something that never faltered. He took, he enjoyed, and at times he dated. But no one ever became permanent. But knowing she was just sex kind of pissed me off, too. She was only floors away at any given time, and he could call her up whenever he felt the need. Don't worry. I haven't slept with Michael. She spoke up as if reading my mind. I pressed my lips together, shrugging. Why would I care? She snorted. By the way, you were all tongue-tied with him the other night in your pajamas. I gathered you did. I dropped my eyes, feeling the water pass between my fingers. I could ask her why she hadn't been with him when I'd seen her go up to his apartment, but I didn't want to care. It felt weird with her in the building and so close, but Michael wasn't mine, so it wasn't my business. And I haven't slept with Kai, either, she added, tipping back another shot. So Will and Damon, then? I broached. No offense, but I've never known them to have to pay for sex. Men who hire escorts aren't paying for the sex, she corrected. They're paying us to leave when it's done. Nice. I looked away, feeling bad for her. Some people aren't interested in forming attachments or having obligations, Rika, she explained. I'm just a professional who'll show you a good time and then not expect anything afterward. I nodded, not really believing her. You may be the good time, but you're also the dirty secret they hide. She must have seen the judgment in my eyes because she rushed to explain. It pays for school and pays for my apartment, and... No, I don't want to do this for any longer than I have to, but I made my choice. I wish I didn't always have to do it, but I don't regret it. And sometimes... She flashed me a playful smile. It's fun. I understood what she was saying, and I hadn't meant to look like I was judging her. She made her choices, and she owned them. In a way, I envied her confidence. But I suddenly realized how happy I was to be born of Fane, with all the securities that entailed. Over the next 20 minutes, she took another shot while I finished my drink, and I noticed everyone slowly relaxing as their alcohol took effect. Suit jackets came off, more people got into the pool, and Alex and I were lost in the music and laughing. The tequila had coursed through my body, warming my stomach and chest, and it felt so good to smile and lose control a little. My skin hummed as my head began to float, and she and I moved our hips to pray to God, barely noticing the couple making out next to us. "I'm going to hit the bathroom," she yelled over the loud music, shoving the bottle of tequila in my hand. "Drink more. I'll be back in a minute." I shook my head, laughing her off. I watched her hop out of the pool and disappear into the house. But then I spotted Michael, Will, and Kai on the other side of the pool, watching me, and my smile faded. How long had they been there? They stood in a semicircle, drinks in their hands, and I wondered if they'd been watching Alex and me the whole time. Cocking an eyebrow, I shot them a defiant look and turned around, setting down the bottle and making my way down the edge of the pool. I headed toward the cave behind the waterfall, partly to escape their prying eyes, and partly because I was curious. The water cascaded down the rocks, splashing my arms and chest as I waded through the pool to the far right side. I spotted a sliver of darkness behind the falls and moved around the rushing water, slipping through without getting drenched. As soon as I stepped past the falls, though, butterflies hit my stomach and I smiled. It was huge. A secret pool hid behind the falls, and the water glowed with neon blue light, much like the light in Michael's penthouse. Off to the right lay a bank of sorts, where you could lie down, sit, or people who weren't swimming could walk in, stand, and see the beauty inside without getting wet. The whole place was exactly like a cave. The rock walls and ceiling glittered with little white lights, probably to look like stars. And I couldn't help the little groan that escaped as I tensed my thighs. I was turned on. I wasn't sure if it was just the place, the drinks, or Michael. My senses had been overwhelmed today. I waded further in, enjoying the solace and the darkness, but then I saw Damon enter the cave and I stopped. He'd walked straight through the falls, coming from the other side, and was drenched. He pushed his wet black hair over the top of his head, the wall of his chest, shoulders, and arms glistening with water. He must have either brought swim shorts with him or borrowed some, but I immediately took a step back, seeing that he was coming straight for me.
"I wish I could say I wasn't used to that reaction from women," he mused, noticing my retreat.
My hands fisted, and I licked my dry lips. "No, you don't," I contended. "I think you like it." His lips curled, and I fought not to back away again. He wanted me to be scared. He counted on it. "I'm not scared of you." I cocked my head, my heart racing despite my steel resolve. The music blared outside, and between that and the waterfall, I doubted anyone would hear me if I screamed. He stopped just in front of me, an inch between us.
"Yeah, you are."
And then he wrapped his arms around my waist like a steel band and lifted me off the ground. I grunted, planting my hands on his shoulders and pushing away. "Damon!"
"I could tear you limb from limb," he threatened, his breath falling across my face. "And I wouldn't even break a sweat."
I pressed my hands into him, pushing harder and twisting my body left and then right. "Knock it off. Let me go."
"You know what I thought about in prison?"
He took hold of my hair at the back of my scalp, and I gasped as he pulled my neck back, holding me tight and still with his lips only an inch from mine.
"You and our last night together," he finished.
He kissed me, soft but possessive, dragging my bottom lip out with his teeth. I jerked away, digging my nails into his upper arms as my heart hammered in my chest. "Damon, fuck off," I bit out. But he tightened his fist in my hair, brushing my lips with his.
"Every time I was alone, I stroked my cock, seeing you in my head and taking it like a good girl."
I darted out my hand and took his neck in my fingers, squeezing as hard as I could and trying to push him away from my mouth. He laughed as if he didn't notice.
"You never told Michael what happened that night, did you?"
"How do you know I haven't?" I growled, baring my teeth. He pushed his head in closer.
"Because he would have killed me already."
I clenched my fingers around his neck, digging in my nails. "Then maybe I will tell him," I threatened. "Now take your hands off me, asshole."
"Enough,
Michael." I sucked in a breath, and Damon shot his eyes up over my head at the deep command. I breathed hard, watching him sneer as he probably debated whether or not to challenge his friend. I couldn't keep up. 2 hours ago, they seemed on the same page, and now Michael was reeling him in. Damon finally released me, pushing me away, and I caught sight of the half-moon marks I'd made on his neck. He was bleeding, and I couldn't help the feeling of satisfaction that coursed through my chest. Good. Maybe it wouldn't deter him, and maybe it would even turn him on, but he now knew I'd fight back. That was worth the risk of inciting him. He left the cave, and I turned around, not even having to force myself to relax. I felt stronger already.
"You like all that attention, don't you?"
Michael pinned me with a hard stare.
"How badly are you begging for it, Rika? Does it even matter who gives it to you?"
I laughed to myself, climbing the small steps up to the spacious stone bank. "Ask Trevor," I taunted, pulling my hair up into a ponytail, and very aware of how his eyes scaled down my wet body. Even he couldn't keep up with how much I needed it. All the time. God, I love to fuck. He tipped his chin down, a sick grin spreading across his face. Walking over to me, he backed me up into the cave wall, his gaze never leaving mine.
Open your mouth, he commanded, lifting his rocks glass.
I hesitated for only a moment. I wouldn't let him see me falter. Little scared, timid Rika, who couldn't manage to take a step without permission? She was gone. I tipped my head back, opening my mouth. Michael poured a drab of his brown drink into my waiting mouth, and I swallowed it, careful to hide the pain of the burn as it coursed down my throat.
Tell me more, he urged, a challenge in his eyes.
I held his stare, diving in as I leaned against the wall, eyeing him. I'd suck him off in the morning, I told him, keeping my voice low and steady, taking him down my throat and getting him so hard, so I could ride his dick before school.
Yeah,
Michael egged me on, a fire starting to burn in his eyes as he lifted the glass again.
Keep going.
I leaned my head back again, opening my mouth for the sip. Swallowing it, I continued, softening my voice. He'd make me come so good, I cooed. His hands were all over my body, squeezing my tits as he bent me over the couch while your mother was in the next room. I hooded my eyes, seeing his gaze drop to my mouth as I licked my lips. He had to put his hand over my mouth when I came, because it was so fucking hot, I couldn't stop screaming.
Hmm,
he responded, tipping up the glass again to feed me more and then setting it down. And his dick is built for my ass, I went on, curling the corner of my lips and playing with him. When he slides it in, he owns me.
Is that right?
Michael asked lightly, thinning his eyelids and wrapping one arm around my waist, holding my face with the other.
Tell me more.
His breath fell across my lips.
I want to know everything my brother doesn't do to you, you little liar.
My chest shook with having him so close. I could almost taste his mouth. I parted my lips, feeling him hover, feeling him about to take his bite, and I fucking craved it. Michael.
After he comes, he whispered, and after he leaves you wanting more and wanting everything you know only I can give you.
He snatched up my bottom lip between his teeth and let go.
Is it my cock you think of when you slide those fingers in your pussy?
I groaned, a rush of warmth hitting between my thighs, and my clit throbbed so hard, I had to be wet. Sometimes, I admitted in a whisper, forcing myself to hold his eyes. He cocked his head.
Sometimes.
I nodded. His glare hardened, and I knew he felt challenged. My heart raced, beating faster and faster, and I didn't know if my gamble was a huge mistake. I only ever thought of him. Every fantasy, every orgasm, every time I was alone and touched myself, I only ever pictured him. His gorgeous eyes and body pinning me to a bed, or a couch, a table, or the floor. It was always Michael. But he had gotten my attention for far too long, and it was time for him to get jerked around. He wanted to play? I could play.
Why did you lie to Jake? He asked, suddenly changing the subject. You watched the games in high school. You were at every one of my games.
I tensed. You knew that? I couldn't believe he knew I attended every game. Even when he was in high school and I was still in junior high, I tagged along with Mrs. Christ, never missing a game until he went off to college.
Why did you lie?
I opened my mouth, searching for words. I didn't, I finally forced out. I said I never watched the games, and that was true. I swallowed the lump in my throat and looked back up at him, dropping my voice to a whisper. I just watched you. He held my eyes, his expression hardening. His breathing sped up, and his rich scent flooded my head as I closed my eyes.
Rika,
he whispered, sounding desperate as he grazed my bottom lip with the tip of his tongue. Tingles spread over my face, and I felt higher than I ever had.
"When you think about me, sometimes," he added with amusement in his tone. He knew I was lying. "Show me what you do to yourself."
I blinked my eyes open, looking at the heat in his eyes. My nervous heart pounded harder, but I fought to restrain my excitement, too. I'd never done that in front of anyone, and I hesitated, worrying about all the other women he'd had, how experienced they were, and if he'd snicker and laugh at what I had. And then I heard Michael in my head from what seemed like ages ago, in a dark room, the first time he got close. "Own it. Don't apologize for who you are. Own it. You can't win if you don't show up, right?" I held his eyes, intense and not blinking, as I slid my hand down into my bikini and between my thighs. Michael ran a hand over the left side of my neck, and I faltered, not used to having anyone touch me there. But he didn't seem to notice anything. He continued, threading it under my hair, holding me as his eyes dropped, and he watched me move my fingers inside my black swimsuit. His chest rose and fell quicker, and his hard gaze stayed trained on my hand as I circled my clit with two fingers. My pussy started throbbing harder, and I whimpered, my insides flooding with heat as he watched me play.
"Take them off," he breathed out,
eyes never leaving my hand. I shook my head.
"Do it."
He shook me and I gasped. "Jesus." A rush hit my stomach and the pulse in my fucking clit pounded harder. I groaned.
"Please, Rika,"
he begged, kissing my lips and drawing them out with his as he pulled back.
"I need to see."
I licked my lips and slipped my fingers under the straps at my hips and pushed the bottoms down, stepping out of them. I caught his sudden intake of breath, and without hesitation, I slid my hand back down between my thighs. I moved my fingers in and out, swirling the wetness up and over my clit as I leaned back against the wall, closing my eyes. I arched my back and lifted my leg up, letting Michael grab it under the knee and hold it at his waist. Much better now. Rolling my hips in small movements, feeling his cock grow hard as I brushed against it inside his pants, I continued fingering and playing, hearing his breathing grow labored. He must have liked what he was seeing. "Is this what you wanted?" I whispered, sliding two fingers inside myself.
"Yes,"
he choked out. I smiled. Whether or not I thought I was sexy or just a stupid kid was irrelevant. Michael Christ was losing his grip. "Sometimes I do other things," I taunted. He snapped his eyes up to me, narrowing them.
"What else?"
"I can't tell you." I licked my lip. "Maybe I'll show you sometime. Or maybe I'll do it tonight when I take off my clothes and crawl into my bed alone." And I leaned in, whispering across his lips, "Naked, hot, wet, and alone." He exhaled, his lungs emptying.
"Fuck."
And before I knew what was happening, he dropped to his knees, hooked my leg over his shoulder, and took my bare pussy in his mouth, assaulting me fast and hard with his tongue and teeth. I cried out, "Michael! Oh, God!" He sucked my clit into his mouth and then released it, rubbing his tongue over the sensitive skin again and again. I squeezed my eyes shut. "Oh, shit," I choked out. "Fuck." He dived in between my legs, eating me like he was starved. I fisted the top of his hair, arching my neck as he nibbled, sucked, and licked, going around in circles and circles, and then diving back in to claim me hard.
"Fuck, you've got a nice pussy,"
he whispered against my skin, looking up at me as he flicked my clit with his tongue.
"You're a pretty girl, Rika. So soft and tight."
I sucked in air through my teeth and pressed myself into his mouth, watching him lick the length of me as he stared into my eyes. And then he dived down and slid his tongue inside of me,
and I groaned louder. "Oh, God," I moaned. "Michael, I need more."
"You want my cock?" he asked,
dragging my clit through his teeth, an ache building deep and hard. I nodded frantically.
"My cock or someone else's?"
"Yours," I cried.
"You mean the only one you think about when you finger fuck yourself, right?"
he argued, sliding his two fingers inside me as he continued to circle my clit with his tongue. "Yes," I moaned, feeling my orgasm build and gather deep in my belly.
"So you're a fucking liar then, huh?"
he growled, rubbing my nub harder and harder with his tongue as his fingers plunged in and out. "Yes," I fisted his hair tighter. My muscles tingled and weakened, and I breathed faster and faster, feeling it coming. I opened my eyes, staring at the ceiling as he ate me out, but then my head snapped to the left, seeing Kai. My eyes widened, and my heart jumped into my chest. "What?" I gasped, my orgasm building and building, and my head feeling dizzy. He leaned his shoulder against the rock wall with his arms crossed over his chest, watching us with impassive eyes. He may as well have been watching the news. I shook my head, wanting to tell him to get out, but then I groaned, tightening every muscle in my fucking body as the orgasm exploded inside me. "Oh, God," I cried, my body taking over as I rode it out and ground my pussy against Michael's tongue. "Oh, fuck." My clit beat like a drum, and I could feel the heat of my cum between my legs. I heaved, trying to catch my breath as the bursts of pleasure inside my stomach and between my thighs pulsed and spread and slowly dissipated. My chest shook with aftershocks, and Michael's mouth slowed, licking me soft and slow. He then kissed my clit nice and soft and looked up at me with a gloating curl to his lips.
"Does she taste as good as she looks?" I heard Kai ask, and I snapped my head up, remembering he'd been watching.
"Better,"
Michael answered calmly, staring up at me as if he'd known Kai was there the whole time. I glared at Michael and then pushed him away, taking my leg down. Grabbing my bikini bottoms, I hurried back into them and made for the exit. Back and forth, Michael challenged me, and I met him, pushing back the whole time. But in the heat of the moment, he got to me. He knew he was the only fantasy in my head, the only one I wanted. And worse, Kai was challenging me too. Their games had changed, and I was thinking faster, but not fast enough. I brushed past Kai, and he turned his head over his shoulder, following me with his eyes.
"Run all you want, little monster,"
he said, sounding like a threat.
"We're faster."
Chapter 12. Michael. Present. I dragged my bottom lip between my teeth, every nerve in my mouth craving more of her. Fuck, she tasted good. I stood up, seeing her disappear on the other side of the waterfall, and Kai turned his head back to me. "You're eating off the community plate, brother," he charged, "and you're taking more than your fair share." The corner of my mouth lifted, and I walked up to him. "You know," I said, hardening my tone, "this leash you keep trying to put me on is getting tighter. The day I start feeling the need to explain myself to you, I'll be dead. You got that?" "I'll remember you said that." He pushed off the wall, but kept his arms locked across his chest. "The same goes for Will, Damon, and me." "What's that supposed to mean?" But he only looked at me, a sinister smile in his eyes. And for the first time, I didn't trust Kai. Yeah, I'd touched her when I'd told them all to leave her alone. I knew he was pissed, and he had a right to be. But she'd surprised me. I came in to get Damon off her and found myself losing control as soon as she opened that mouth. She got smart, and she didn't back down. I saw the little monster again, the one who breathed fire and made people see her. I'd needed to touch her. I couldn't think past that. But as much as Kai deserved revenge, there was no way in hell I was apologizing to him. I was, however, starting to fear him. Not for my sake, but for Rika's. I couldn't help the feeling that his premonition from Rika's first night in Meridian City was true, not only for Will and Damon, but for Kai as well. Things never go according to plan. Did they each have agendas I didn't know about? What about her house? Kai spoke up. Where do we stand on it? I'm taking care of it. Where do we stand on it? He demanded again. But I got in his face, challenging him. She's in Meridian City because of me, I gritted out. She's at Delcor because of me, and she's isolated because of me. We're on the home stretch. And then I walked out, proving one thing. He, Damon, and Will may have changed, but I hadn't. I didn't explain myself. By the time I'd made it out of the cave, Rika's clothes by the pool were gone. After a search of the party, and also noticing Alex's absence, I'd finally figured out she'd asked her for a ride and left without us. Will and Damon had stayed at the party, and after the confrontation in the cave, I couldn't find Kai. We needed to get this shit done so we could all get on with our lives. I was constantly distracted from basketball. Kai was turning more and more inward. Damon was a ticking bomb, and I was pretty sure Will couldn't get through the day without a drink anymore. I thought they'd slowly start reacclimating to life and the possibilities of what their futures held. But it was getting worse, not better. This bullshit needed to end, and I needed them back on track. Pretty soon, those 3 years away would just seem like a bad memory. They'd been offered jobs, places within their family's circles to get their lives going again, but none of them wanted to even talk about it. Nothing existed beyond Rika and today. They didn't even want to see any family or spend time in Thunder Bay. My friends, my brothers, were dead on the inside. And the more I thought about what she'd done to them, to us, I wanted to rip her apart. I only hoped what we were about to do would bring them back, though.
Mr. Crist? Stella greeted as I strolled into my father's office on the top floor of his building.
I nodded, offering her a half-smile as I walked past. She never tried to stop me, no matter if he was in a meeting or on a call. My brother and I rarely came down here, but the truth was, I think she was just as afraid of us as she was of my father. She didn't interfere with family, even if my father didn't like us here. My mother, Trevor, and I learned early on that his life in the city, with us tucked away in Thunder Bay, was just how he wanted things. Family hanging around his work was a nuisance. He kept the two lives separate and didn't involve us. And as much as I fucking adored my mother, I respected her less and less for staying married to such a prick. To them, though, they had a good arrangement, I guess. He gave her the money to buy anything, have the home she wanted, and secure the place in society she enjoyed. In return, she stayed respectable and gave him 2 sons. They were both liars and cowards. My mother wasn't brave enough to demand the life she deserved, and my father would never open up himself to anyone, not his wife or his sons. And he didn't have any friends. Not really, anyway. In the spider's web of Thunder Bay, with its endless lies and secrets, its fake smiles and bullshit, I thought I'd found one person who was different, who saw everything I wanted and craved it with me. My brother was right. I'd seen that look in her eyes long before I even noticed her face or her body. that look of something being contained and wanting to claw its way out. Rika and I had always circled each other, even before either of us was aware of it. And her betrayal was as close as I'd ever come to being gutted. I walked straight for the door and opened it without knocking. My father was seated behind his desk, the furniture polish of the dark mahogany tables and bookshelves hitting my nose and reminding me of a museum. His lawyer, Monroe Wynne, sat across from him with his back to me. "Michael." My father looked up, tapping his finger on his desk with a smile that didn't reach his eyes. "What a rare surprise." I shut the door behind me, already feeling the air filter into my lungs like oil. He wasn't happy to see me, and I hated being in his presence. Our relationship died long ago when I started standing up for myself, so his mock pleasure at the sight of me was merely for his lawyer's benefit. "Monroe, you know my son," he offered, waving his hand between us. Monroe rose from his chair and held out his hand. "Hi, Michael." I took it and nodded once. "Sir?" I released his hand and crossed my arms over my chest. "We're expecting great things from you this year," Monroe said. "Wife was mad enough I bought box seats for the season, so better be worth it. Don't let us down." "No, sir." "He'll do his job," my father assured, as if he had an ounce of fucking control. He hated my career and never supported it. Monroe nodded, and I turned my eyes on my father. Sensing the uncomfortable silence, Monroe finally grabbed his files and briefcase, his arms full as he turned to leave. "We'll talk soon," he told my father. He left the room, and my father leaned back up in his seat, looking at me through annoyed blue eyes. He and my brother looked alike, with dark blonde hair, pale skin, and narrow jaws. Both of them stood at least 3 inches shorter than me. I inherited my height from my mother's side of the family. "I'm surprised you even remembered where the building was," he sneered. "Fair's fair," I retorted, leaning my shoulder against the bookshelf. "I'm here as much as you're home." He leveled his gaze on me, looking unamused. "Have you talked to your mother?" I nodded. "Yesterday. She's spending a few days shopping in Paris before heading to Spain. You're meeting her this week, correct?"
"As usual," he replied. "Why do you ask?"
I shrugged, shaking my head.
"No reason."
Actually, there was a very good reason. I wanted to make sure he was leaving, and soon. Rika believed her mother was with mine on board Python off the coast of southern Europe. No. Python was still docked in Thunder Bay, and my mother hadn't seen Ms. Fane since before she left for Europe by plane over a week ago. Rika didn't know where her mother really was. I did. And when my father joined my mother, Rika would have zero support around her. My parents always left in the fall for several weeks to visit various friends and business partners out of the country. And while my father traveled extensively throughout the year, their annual excursion was always together. My mother was useful with her charm, wit, and beauty, so he insisted she accompany him when he made the rounds in Europe every autumn. It was the one thing I knew I could count on. The house in Thunder Bay was currently empty, with my mother having already left and my father staying here in the city, at the private fuck pad he kept on the other side of town. At the very least, he had the decency not to keep an apartment at Delcor and flaunt his sluts in a building he owned.
"Have you spoken to Trevor?" he asked.
But I just stared. He breathed out a laugh, realizing that was a stupid question. A young woman came into the office with an armful of file folders. She smiled at me, looking sexy in her bright blue dress and perfect blonde hair. Walking behind my father's desk, she placed the folders on top and reached over it, taking a post-it and writing a quick note for him. He didn't even try to hide his leering as he reclined in his chair and gazed at her ass as she bent over next to him.
"So why are you here?" he broached, and I didn't miss his hand disappearing up her dress.
She bit her bottom lip to stifle her smile. I fisted my hands under my arms. God, I fucking hated him.
"To talk about my future," I replied.
He cocked his head, narrowing his eyes on me. I hated this. I didn't want to deal with him for another second, which is why it had taken me so long to deal with what should have been settled long ago. I hadn't wanted to come here. His lips curled. Pulling his hand out, he gave the girl a pat on the behind.
"Close the door on your way out."
She walked around the desk, casting one last glance at me before leaving the room. He exhaled a heavy breath, peering over at me.
"I seem to remember trying to have this conversation with you many times. You didn't want to attend Annapolis. You wanted to take a full scholarship to Westgate."
"They had a superior athletic program," I reminded him.
"You didn't want a future in this company," he continued. "You wanted to play basketball."
"I'm a professional athlete," I responded. "I've been in more magazines than you." He snickered.
"This isn't about making better choices, Michael. This is about you consistently defying me. Whatever I want, you do the opposite."
He stood up from his chair and took his glass of what I assumed was his usual scotch and stood next to his floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the city.
"As you grew up and became a man, I thought you'd be more agreeable. But you haven't stopped. At every turn of the hand, you..."
"Back on topic," I cut in, straightening my back. "My future." We'd had this conversation, or fight, several times. I didn't need a rehash.
"Fine," he allowed. "What do you want?"
"You were right," I admitted, swallowing the bitterness in my mouth. "In 10, 15 years, I'll be looking for college coaching positions, and as I look ahead, my career loses its luster. It doesn't have a future." He inhaled a deep breath, looking as if he liked the sound of that.
"I'm listening."
"Let me try something on for size," I suggested. "Let's see what I can do with some of your interests."
"Like what?"
I shrugged, pretending to be thinking, as if I hadn't come in here with a plan. "How about Delcor and 50,000 shares of Faro?" He laughed at my audacity, which is exactly what I wanted. I knew he wouldn't go for it.
50,000 shares would make you a partner," he pointed out,
setting down his glass and taking a seat again.
"Son or no son, you don't get those kinds of perks just handed to you."
He fanned out his suit jacket, leaning back in his seat and pinning me with a stare.
"And not in Meridian City," he demanded. "If you embarrass me, I'd like it less visible."
"Fine," I nodded. "What about Fane, then?" Rika's family had given their jewelry store the family name when it had been opened years before she was born. He pinched his eyebrows together, looking suspicious.
"Fane?"
Shit. I'd moved too fast. He was going to say no. I shrugged, trying to downplay it. "Everything is tucked away in Thunder Bay, isn't it? Out of sight? Let's see what I can do with the shop, the house, and the Fane's holdings."
"Absolutely not," he answered. "All of that will be your brother's someday."
I stilled. Trevor's? Not Rika's? In his will, Schrader Fane had named his daughter as his sole heir. Rika would inherit everything upon either her graduation from college or her 25th birthday, whichever came first. Mr. Fane had named my father, Rika's godfather, the trustee until that time, which had been just fine with Rika's mother. She took no interest in business, nor was she capable of even running her own household, let alone a multi-million-dollar estate. If everything went to Trevor, though, that meant...
"You must realize by now that they will eventually be married," my father told me when I didn't say anything. Married. My muscles ached, every single fucking one tight, as I stared at my father and fought not to lose my shit. What did I care anyway? She and Trevor deserved each other, and I was sure we'd be more than done with her by then.
Makes sense, I agreed, trying to unknot my stomach.
It'll be sometime after they both graduate, he told me. We can't have her spreading her wings too wide and taking off. He'll marry her, put a Christ baby in her, and everything Fane will be ours, including little Rika. That's the plan.
And I'd bet everything I had that she wasn't aware of any of this either. Sure, we all knew the family had been trying to push Rika and Trevor together, even though she'd broken it off. But there was only so much a person could take. They'd continue to pressure her, including Trevor, and Rika would eventually fold.
She doesn't love him, I pointed out, wanting to burst his little bubble.
He raised his eyes, meeting my challenge.
She'll take him back, and she'll marry him.
And what if he can't get a baby in her? I argued. Rika didn't want Trevor. They may get her down the aisle, but there was no guarantee she'd be pliable in the bedroom.
If he can't, he said, looking at me pointedly, then maybe you will. As long as it's a Christ, I don't really care.
He tipped up his glass, taking another sip.
Hell, he continued, a hint of a grin on his face. I'll do it if I have to. Motherfucker.
Her life was already as good as over. I fixed him with a sarcastic smile.
So you need me then?
Yeah, but I don't trust you, he retorted.
But I am your son, I shot back. And I know that scares you because you can't control me. But you know why that is? Because we are exactly the same. I tipped my chin down, challenging him as I stood my ground. The same qualities you hate in me are the ones you prize in yourself. And whether or not you want to admit it, you respect me a lot more than you do Trevor. Pushing off the wall, I kept my arms folded across my chest as I approached his desk. It's time I joined the family business, I stated. I'll keep nothing. Fane belongs to Rika, as well as her property and finances when she graduates college. That's in her father's will and can't be changed. Let me manage it until she and Trevor are ready. He narrowed his eyes, turning it over in his head. What did he have to lose? I couldn't keep anything. The law protected Rika. And as far as my father knew, I had no reason to mismanage her estate. Why would I want to seize her house, close down the business, freeze her assets?
Fane, he said, finally coming to terms with the idea.
End the house and all their other holdings, I reminded him. And if I do well, I get Delcor and the 50,000 shares. I didn't give a fuck about Delcor and the shares, but I wanted to keep up the pretense that the Fane estate wasn't the real prize. He paused, but finally nodded, accepting the deal.
I'll have Monroe change over the power of attorney and fax you the papers later today.
And then, looking at me sternly, he pointed out,
You're getting a chance because you're blood, Michael. And only because you're blood. If I were you, I'd prove my worth by not fucking this up. You might not get a second chance.
I kept my smile to myself. I wouldn't need a second chance. I turned and walked for the door, ready to leave, but then I stopped. "Why not me?" I pivoted back around, looking at him. "Why didn't you consider me to marry her?"
"I did," he answered. "You're too volatile, and I need her happy and pliant. You'd make her miserable."
I cocked an eyebrow, looking away. Well, he was right, wasn't he? I had every intention of hurting her beyond repair. But he didn't know that. He was reading into something else. Knowing nothing about the bad blood between Rika and me, my father thought I wasn't good for her. I walked out of the office, slamming his door closed behind me with a loud thud. Anger coiled in my gut, and I hardened my jaw. It didn't matter. None of it mattered, I reminded myself. He thought he'd secure the Fane money and connections, and that he would control everything through Trevor. He had no idea that I was going to drive everything into the ground. And he had no idea that my plans had just now changed. He and Trevor would never get their hands on her. I'd see her dead first. I stepped into the elevator, pushing the button for the lobby and feeling my phone vibrate inside my suit jacket. Pulling it out of my breast pocket, I clicked on a text message from Will. "No more house." And my eyes rounded, seeing a picture of the foyer of the Fane's home covered in flames. What the fuck? My heart filled my throat, and I stopped breathing. They'd acted without me. We planned to take the house, not burn it down. I worked quickly, dialing the security office at the community. The night guard answered immediately.
"Ferguson," I growled. "The Fane's house." "Yes, sir," he rushed out. "I already called 911. Fire trucks are on their way."
I hung up and instantly twisted to the side, slamming my fist into the elevator wall.
God damn it!
Chapter 13. Erica. 3 years ago. I should have beat the shit out of them. Miles and Astrid were ugly and vile, and I couldn't believe what they'd tried to do to me in there. I fisted my hands as I sat in Michael's car, waiting for the guys to come out of sticks. Astrid and Miles deserved so much more than what they got. Tears welled as I chewed on my thumbnail and stared out the window, holding my cries back. They would have raped me in that bathroom, and they would have gotten away with it. Rage fired under my skin, and I wanted to go back in and hit them until they understood, until they knew I wasn't a victim. I moved to open the door, but I looked up and stopped, noticing the guys coming out of the pool hall. They still wore their masks, and I spotted several people inside following them with their eyes. Everyone knew who the horsemen were, and probably had no doubt about the shenanigans they were up to tonight. While interested, onlookers wouldn't interfere. Michael and Kai slid into the front seats while Damon climbed in Will's side, dropping into the back as usual. Will followed, sitting down next to me and slamming the door, and I noticed that the sleeve of his sweatshirt was torn. There must have been a struggle. I almost started to worry if he was hurt, but he was laughing his ass off. "What did you guys do?" I asked. Everyone pulled off their masks, setting them aside, and I watched Will wink at me and shoot me a dashing grin.
"Hold out your hand," he instructed.
My stomach sunk. Shit. What now? Reluctantly, I inched out my left hand and watched as he lay something soft and red across my hand, the strands spilling over the sides like a scarf. He removed his hand, and my eyes rounded. "Oh my God," I gasped, horror heating my blood. "Is this..." I breathed out, trying to wrap my head around it. "Is this from them?" In my hand sat a bloodied tooth, and a thick rope of long red hair. I cringed, acid burning my